My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonatotum, where I provide personal opinions, advice, reflection, and recommendations to help you and me stay human while building a successful, healthy, creative writing life. Sonatotum is the podcast companion to Scribtotum, my blog, at mattselznick.com. And now, the show. So here we are, it's episode 3. The topic today, I wanted to talk about toxic people and healthy people and their presence in our lives and the impact they could have on our creative life. So I'm gonna riff on that. First I wanted to mention that I got the show into a bunch of podcast directories. So if you've been waiting to subscribe in your favorite podcast app, or if you've been trying to find the show in your favorite podcast directory / app, you can now find Sonatotum in iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling it, whatever device you're on right now. But it's in iTunes, it's in Apple Podcasts. The show is in Stitcher, Google Play, Player FM, Podbean, Radio Public, TuneIn, DigitalPodcast.com, and Listen Notes. So if you use iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or TuneIn, Radio Public, Podbean, Player FM, Google Play, DigitalPodcast.com, Listen Notes, any of those platforms, then you can subscribe to Sonatotum in using that app, that directory, that platform. And I hope you will. Please subscribe to the show. It helps, especially if you subscribe in iTunes. iTunes, for many years, since 2006 or so, 2005, has been the 900-pound gorilla, the apex predator in the podosphere. So there's a good chance that many of you, not most of you, according to the stats, but many of you use iTunes or the Apple Podcast app to consume your podcast. So, hey, how about subscribing? That would be great. It makes it easier for you and especially people you might know who would be interested in the show. It makes it easier for folks to subscribe and listen. And so there's that little bit of business. The other little bit of business I wanted to talk about, I have a serial fiction project called Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights. And the first first story arc is called How It All Got Started. This is a project that's a few years old. And it's had a few different homes, and I've just brought it back as an exclusive offering for my Patreon patrons. So anyone who is my patron at patreon.com/mattselznick, and they pledge at least $1 a month to support my creative endeavors, one of the things that they're going to get now is access to all past and future installments of Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights. So what is Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights? Well, it's, you know, if you're a fan of the CW, and it's okay to admit that you are, the network, at least here in the United States, television network, that they have a lot of what you would call new adult dramas. A new adult is sort of the age right at the cusp of responsible adulthood, so you decide what that is. Maybe it's early 20s, maybe it's early 30s. But it's usually the characters are in high school or fresh out of high school. And, you know, think Riverdale, think Dawson's Creek, think One Tree Hill, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's a serial, which means it's an ongoing episodic story. And the thing that makes this a little different is it takes place in the same story world as my novels Brave Men Run and Pilgrimage. In fact, it features a lot of the same characters from those books, but it takes place, or at least it begins, about a year before the events in Brave Men Run. So that, you know, if you liked Brave Men Run, if you like Pilgrimage, if you like that Sovereign era and you want to go a little bit deeper with the kids who live in the same town and go to the same school as characters like Nate Charters and Byron Teslowski from Brave Men Run and Pilgrimage, you might dig Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights. And now you can read the first three installments for free at mattselznick.com. And then all the other installments, just $1 a month as my patron. Now, some of you are already patrons. You're listening to the unedited version of this episode, just like you get to listen to every unedited episode of Sonatotum. That's one of the perks for being a patron. You get this show a few days before the rest of the world, and you get it unedited and uncut, which, sure, that means you get to hear my mistakes and my restarts and my do-overs and my flubs, but you also usually get some extra content that just doesn't make it into the final show for whatever reason. And sometimes, you know, yeah, it's worth hearing. All right. The reason I wanted to do a show this episode is because I've been thinking about, am I associating myself with the kind of folks who are healthy for me and who contribute in a healthy way to my everyday existence, and by extension, who, by associating with them, I'm in a better place to be a better, more productive, healthier creator. And I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm no kind of mental health professional. So, as usual, I'm just going to be kind of trying to relate my own experience and what I've learned and what I'm struggling with, and hope that it resonates with you and hope that it helps you in some way. Yeah, it's true. I have found myself in my life a time or two being closely associated with people who are not healthy for me and who are not healthy for my creative success. And, you know, my creative success equals my sort of mental health, my emotional success, my growth as a person. And so when you got people around you who are bringing you down, that's, at the very least, that's no good. And at the worst, it could be very bad. I think about my second marriage. Now, I got into that second marriage for just about every possible wrong reason that I could. Is it possible to have rebound marriages? That's what that was. I was barely a year out of my first marriage. I think part of me was so grateful that I had another chance that I leapt at it. You know, even though it was with a different person, that I had another chance at love, at a mature relationship, at a commitment. So I went for it. That's a bad, bad reason. To enter into any kind of relationship. It's deeply selfish and misguided. But also, I had plenty of warning signs that this person was not going to be good for me. I'm not throwing stones in a glass house here, as I mentioned already just now. I had plenty of issues myself. It was a bad scene. But it went on for 10 years. And granted, in that 10 years, almost despite the codependent and emotionally abusive situation I found myself in. I started podcasting. I finished my first novel right in the middle of that marriage. I remember when I finished that first book. I was sitting in a Starbucks in Victorville, California. And I finished that first draft. And it wasn't that I wished that I could share that with her immediately. It was very bittersweet because I didn't feel like it would matter if I did share it with her. And everything that I did with that book, I didn't feel like I could, like I was free enough to invest the time and the energy if she was around. The psychic energy, the psychic vibe in the house was just not conducive to feeling that kind of creative freedom. Now, to her credit, and her reasons for doing this were probably complex, she offered me the opportunity to quit my full-time job and focus on promoting the book and just maybe get like a little part-time job in the mornings or something to bring in grocery money. And she would essentially, for the most part, support us while I attempted to promote the book and see where that went. I'm grateful for that. I'm still grateful for that. It was a gutsy move on her part. And I worked hard in that time period. But it also didn't really, it did nothing to change our situation. I didn't really create anything new other than that book. And after we were done, finally done, it took a long time for me to feel like I could dive into another major project. It took 7 years between my first novel and my second novel, and it's coming up on that much time since that second novel. But the time between the first and the second novel, super important, right? You have to maintain momentum. And between the chaos and the pain and the heavy, heavy emotional toll that our marriage took on me. And look, I'm not trying to put all the blame on her, but it was certainly my fault for sticking around as long as I did and not having the courage to break away earlier. The price of that was I stopped making things. I barely wrote any songs. I barely wrote any fiction. And I became someone who gradually my creative momentum and my confidence as a creator ebbed away. And it's still not completely back. That was a very toxic relationship. And it cost me, not the person, the relationship cost me as a creator. So we have to watch out that we're not sabotaging ourselves in the name of, let's call them, misguided obligations. Once I knew that I was unhappy, instead of doubling down and trying to commit to the commitment, it would have been healthier for me as a creator, among other things, to get the hell out, but I didn't. And I guess what I'm trying to say is we have to watch that we're not kind of being our own worst enemy. You know what, and by staying in that relationship, I was hurting myself as much as I was hurting her, as much as I was hurting myself. And when I was thinking about what I was going to say for this episode, you know, I don't overthink it too much, but some things were running around in my head. And I realized that the toxic people we have to avoid, sometimes it's our own toxic behavior that we need to watch out for and get away from, fix, or at least attempt to fix, at least be aware of it enough that, I don't know, perhaps you can process it through your creativity. Now, a lot of my personal toxicity has been around relationships. And that's kind of why, you know, I wanted to talk about this. The people that we surround ourselves with, right? Toxicity in your life will etch away at the often very fragile, very thin veneer of confidence that we as creators have, especially just starting out before there's a whole lot of public validation, right? You gotta be around people, especially the people who you're with every day. Those folks have got to be in 100%. And that's not an easy thing to ask for. But they got to be there. You need to surround yourself with people who, even if, you know, maybe the art that you create isn't their cup of tea, they're into you and your ability and your dream, okay? They got to believe in you. You have to be around people who believe in what you do. Also, watch out for drama. Watch out for the people in your life who always seem to have some sort of issue, some sort of fire that needs to be put out, some sort of crisis. And this doesn't make them bad people, but that's something I want to mention is toxic people don't necessarily mean bad people. Usually they don't mean, it doesn't mean bad people. A toxic person is just someone who is not good for you and for you as a creator. Might not be their fault. Usually is not anything malicious. But if a person in your life is eating away at your time and your mental energy and your psychic, we'll call it psychic energy, your will, and you find yourself with very little left to dedicate to your creative works, that's a problem. What it comes down to is you've got to care for yourself and nurture yourself and do everything that you need to do to ensure that your head is in a place where you can make the things that you know you need to make. If you're like me and you're not creating, you start to get depressed, you start to get frustrated and mean, and you feel like the walls are closing in. You got to watch out. I mean, of course, look, we want to be there for the people we love, for the people we care for our loved ones, for our family, for our friends. And when the shit hits the fan, you've got to be there. It's good. But there has to be some balance, right? You got to be a little self-aware, always vigilant, you know? Because I believe that we really, as humans, we really, really are driven to stick with the things that are familiar, even if they're not healthy, because the familiar is safer than the unknown, according to our caveman brain, our lizard brain. And that's why it can be so difficult to get out of an unhealthy relationship to back away from people who are toxic to you. I think it's better to put it that way. People who are toxic to you rather than toxic people. It can be so hard to change our own self-sabotaging toxic behavior because at least we know where we're at. At least we know what's up. It's the devil you know, right? Well, no, not so much. Because the devil you know will absolutely damn you. If we're going to stick with that. Yeah, over the edge of the horizon, there could be dragons. But until we meet those dragons, we don't know whether they're the friendly Chinese dragon or the vicious European dragon or the luck dragon from Neverending Story. Was he called a luck dragon? You see what I'm saying? Breaking away from the people and the behavior, both theirs and your own, that is safe but dangerous at the same time, is absolutely worth the risk. If you want to make stuff, and if you want to find success and stay sane, you gotta watch out. You got to watch out for the wrong people in your life. And I don't mean to say that those people are wrong. I mean to say that they are wrong for you right now. If you want to do the things you really want to do. You got to watch out for your own wrong behavior. And you got to watch to see whatever they are. You got to watch out to see where your dragons are. Pay attention. And make the hard choices. Apply the discipline that you try to apply to your creative practice. Apply that to your interpersonal practice. People will be hurt. All right? People will be hurt when you make some of these decisions. And I'm going to sound cold here, but that's just going to have to happen. Because you can't be any good to anyone if you're not being good to yourself. And let's get a little lofty here. Let's talk about the artist's responsibility. You, dear listener, as a creative person, you and only you make the things that you make. There might be 100 other vampire romance novelists out there, but only you write the vampire romance novels that come out of you. Only you have the perspective that is you that gets funneled into your art. And there are people out there. This is going to be silly, but why not? I think we could use a little levity. There will be people out there who don't like vampire romance novels, and then they read yours. Only you can change the lives that you're going to change through the work that is uniquely yours. I've said it a million times, art isn't art until it's experienced by someone other than the artist. Nobody can experience your art if you're not healthy enough to make it and to put it out into the world. So a big part of that is being self-aware and taking care of yourself and being cognizant of your own shortcomings and own quirks. But another big part of it is making sure that you are not being drained by the people who just aren't good for you. Eliminate the toxicity in as many ways as much as you can. You may never be able to do it to 100%. We have to live in the world, don't we? And it's good that we live in the world because the world inspires us to make the things that we make. But get rid of the people in your life who don't feed your creative practice in a healthy way. Change the practices in your life that detract from your healthy creative practice. Or you will be sorry. Take it from me, man. Take it from me. It's hard not to have regrets. It's hard not to look back and think, oh man, the things that I should have done by now. It's hard not to be ruled by that regret. So at least now I know how to avoid feeling like that again, more, still. And that's why I'm sharing this with you, so that you will take a close look at your circle of friends. At yes, your significant other, your spouse, your parents, your workplace. Who is there to help you? Who feeds you in a good way? Who enriches your life? What enriches your life? More of that. Less of the people and the practices and the habits that drain you. So that you can make more stuff for the world. That's your job. That's your responsibility. Yeah, I'm talking to myself, but I'm also talking to you. One of the reasons I do this show is so that I can hear the advice that I need to hear. And I hope it helps you. Stick around to the very, very end of the show so you can hear ways to provide feedback on this episode. I would love your feedback. Let's be the healthy, enriching, uplifting people in each other's lives that we need. Join the conversation. Listen to the end for all the ways you can do that. I think I kind of need to walk around the block after this. Okay. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care. Hi, pre-recorded Matt here to let you know I'd love your comments and feedback on this episode. Leave a comment in the show notes for this episode at sonitotum.com or leave a voicemail at 1-757-DIY-MATT. That's 1-757-349-6288. Or you can send a voice recording or email to feedback@sonitotum.com. Hey, have you subscribed to Sonitotum so you never miss an episode? Well, you really should. Subscribe in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or wherever and however you get your shows. And if Sonitotum is valuable to you, I hope you'll support the show in one or all of the following ways. You could rate and review the show in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This helps more people notice the show, which leads to more subscribers, and everything is happy. Your financial support of Sonitotum has a huge positive impact. Become a patron of the show and my creative endeavors when you pledge at least $1 a month at patreon.com/Matt Selznick. You'll receive early access to uncut episodes, as well as a bunch of other perks and considerations. And you'll help offset the financial cost of recording, producing, and distributing this podcast. Thank you. You're awesome.